So in today's gospel reading, we read about Jesus returning to his hometown of Nazareth. What is special about Jesus returning back to Nazareth? Scriptures tells us that Jesus visited Nazareth twice. And so today's reading talks to us about his second visit, his return back to Nazareth. Now, where is Nazareth? Because we know Nazareth is in Israel. And how was Nazareth important in the life of Jesus? So that's what we want to talk about this morning. And then we'll see why this reading was chosen for us for our reflection today. And what the church wants us to learn, what lessons to take home from today's text. I was caught between preaching on today's second reading and today's gospel reading. They're just so good. Well, the Bible is always good, right? Because it's the truth. As much as we don't want to hear it, but that's the reality. So let's look at Nazareth. Scriptures tells us that Nazareth became Jesus' hometown, even though that was not where he was born. How did Jesus adopt Nazareth as his hometown? We know where Jesus was born, but while he was still a tiny little baby, remember the story where the angel appeared to this man, Joseph, and said, you need to take your son. And he's actually carrying the son there. Take him to Egypt because the king wants to kill this child. You remember that story, how Joseph took his wife, Mary, and baby Jesus, and they went to Egypt. Some scripture scholars believe that they stayed about a year or two in Egypt, but we don't know for sure. And after a while, the angel came back and told Joseph, the king is dead now. It's time to come back home. Well, when they were coming back to Israel, Joseph made a decision. Why? We don't know. But I'm sure that's part of God's plan. He made a decision to choose a different town to live in. And so he chose Nazareth. And scripture scholars tell us that Jesus spent 26 years of his 33 years on earth in this town called Nazareth. And you can't count how many times the town Nazareth was so important in the life of Jesus that it was attached to his title. You often hear in scriptures, Jesus is referred to as Jesus of where? Nazareth. Even the devil knew that. Remember when Jesus was driving evil spirit away from this man and he started hauling and screaming at Jesus, what do you have to do with us? Why are you bothering us? And then he said, he acknowledged who he was. He said, why do you bother me? Jesus of Nazareth. Even the devil knew that. So Nazareth became Jesus' adopted hometown and obviously one of the most important towns that played a very important role in the life of Jesus. So Jesus returned there and he lived most of his childhood and adulthood years until he began his ministry. So when he began his ministry, he began in Nazareth, but something happened. Jesus moved his workshop or his ministry away from Nazareth to Capernaum. Why? We see that in today's gospel reading. A prophet is with honor everywhere, except where? In his hometown. They wouldn't believe in Jesus. They wouldn't let him fulfill his role and his mission. Jesus had to move shop to Capernaum. And he was in Capernaum doing all these great things, curing the sick and bringing many back to life, and most importantly, bringing people back to God. But as he was coming closer to the end of his time, Jesus thought, I can't do all these great things outside, and I don't get to do it in my own hometown. And so we read in today's gospel reading, Jesus offers the people of Nazareth a second chance. What we are offered every day. Every day you open your eyes and you're still alive. That is God saying, that's a second chance. That's a second chance. Take it. Every day, that's a second chance. And so Jesus said, I'm going to give them a second chance. And he returned back home. You would have thought that for someone who spent at least 26 years of his 33 years on earth, you would have thought that he would have been so known in his hometown that he would have the greatest number of fans in his hometown. You would have expected people to be all rooting for Jesus, and he would become their superstar in Nazareth because he was born and raised there. But you guys are English speakers, and there's an English saying that says, familiarity does what? Breeds contempt. Right? Yeah. I guess in this parish, people don't listen to me as they used to listen to me my first 6 months when I got here. Right? Yeah. We're used to hearing his voice. That's why sometimes it's good for me to go away and someone else comes. A fresh voice. Familiarity brings contempt. Don't we see that in our lives every day? That we get so used to people that we are not able to see the potentials that are in them, even of our own children, family members. When I go on my school class visits, and I hopefully will start doing that in the fall, God willing. Yeah, I watch your kids. You can't believe they're the same children. They are so well behaved. So well behaved that I think maybe mom is the problem. You almost won't recognize them. They come, oh, good morning, Father Peter, how are you? And they have their hands down, well behaved. I'm asking questions, they are answering. But as soon as mom shows up in the scene, oh yeah, familiarity, right? Well, that's not only for kids, even for us adults. We tend to miss the good in people because we have gotten too familiar with them. That was what happened to the Nazarenes. The people of Nazareth. Listen to what, did you hear what they said in today's gospel reading? Oh, come on, guys. Who is this guy? We know where he comes from. His father was a poor carpenter. He couldn't even pay his bills. His mother suddenly got pregnant somewhere. We don't know where that child came from. And now you're going to tell us that you're going to do all these things and you're telling us that scriptures is fulfilled in you? We know where you are from. When the Messiah comes, we won't know where the Messiah comes from. Can you imagine? Nazareth. So privileged to be given what every town, every city in the world will want, will wish for themselves. And they got it. And they blew it because they know Jesus' origin. We're going to come to ourselves. Because it's very easy to judge others, right? We're going to come to ourselves at the end of this homily. Now, what was the consequence of that? Scriptures tells us the consequence of that in today's gospel reading. That Jesus could not perform miracle in Nazareth. What a shame. What a shame. Why? Two reasons. Was it that Jesus' power was diminished when he came to Nazareth? Bev, is that the reason? Be careful, you're getting close to me. Be careful. Then we won't know what to do with your hair, though. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you've got to change it then. Yeah. 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 Was it because Jesus' power diminished in Nazareth? Yeah. Two reasons. One, the people will not believe. Even after a second chance. Remember, they chased him away the first time. He came back. Maybe they would have changed. Maybe they would have heard all the great things I did, and now they can believe. Obstinacy. Once you get to that level, nothing else can change you, which is where our world is today. Look, Abraham can come back to this world. They'll still not believe in God. No matter what you do. We've gone too far away from him, unfortunately. And so, two things. One reason, because they would not believe. They chose not to believe. If our scripture tells us today, I love this sentence. It says, they were offended by him. Can you imagine? I like that word because we live in a world today where people are so offendable. So easy to offend people now. I wake up in the morning, I'm just looking for people to offend me. Yeah, that's how our world is today. It's okay to be offended and stay there. Stay offended. That's okay. That's what our world is, unfortunately. But not didn't start with us. You saw it in today's gospel reading. They were offended. What did Jesus do? Because you know his origin? And so you can't see power that is in him. And then led us to the second reason why Jesus could not perform miracles. The second reason why Jesus could not perform miracles, because they chose not to bring the sick to him. That's clear. Every other town Jesus went to, you hear scriptures will tell us that they brought their sick in droves. Even the dying in droves, they would bring them. Remember where they had to even tear down the roof to lay down a sick person so that Jesus could pray over the person? He comes to Nazareth. Jesus was bored. He was on holiday. They said, No. Who are you taking? We know him. He can't do anything. Those guys are just making those stories up. Just like what some people are thinking I'm doing this morning. Oh, this whole thing, Father, you're talking about, is just, you just made it up. Are we sure scriptures is the truth, right? Yeah, that's what the world wants you to believe. And so because of that, the consequence of that was Jesus performed no miracle except a few. What a shame. I have a question for you this morning, and it's going to get you thinking. Do you not think that you are just like the people of Nazareth? And I've asked myself this question this week, and my answer is yes. Thank you for offering this, praying for me as I celebrated my 27 years. But this week I was looking at 27 years ago when I was preparing to celebrate the sacrifice of the Holy Mass for the first time. Oh boy, you needed to see me. It took months for me to prepare for it. The day before, I thought I was still not ready. The day of my ordination, I was still not ready. Then the next day was when I was going to celebrate Mass in this huge cathedral, 4,000 square meters, seats 5,000 people. And I had my family sitting in front. You needed to see me. Oh boy, I was sweating like I was going to pass out the next second. But I was able to take in every word that was prayed in that Mass, every word that I said. And everything made so much meaning to me. Fast forward to 27 years after, opposite. I come to Mass, I rush through it, I rush throughout. It's become obligation. Where is the excitement that I had 27 years ago? Where is the passion I had 27 years ago? Familiarity. These hands changes the bread. Oh, that's too simple. Yeah, let's just go and do it. Get it done. Another Nazareth. Are you also one of those Nazarenes? We know the consequence of that. As the gospel of Christ grown, have you grown so used to the gospel of Christ that it doesn't speak to you anymore? Have you killed that part of your soul or your conscience that through which God speaks to you, because you've heard God speak too often or you've chosen not to listen? Bishop Barron in his piece today talked about reflecting on this text. He says, our world today, and I think I said that during the week, our world today hates to hear anything that looks like the truth. In fact, if you look at our world today, anything that the mainstream media let's stay with mainstream media. Now we've gotten to a point where when the mainstream media brings up a news item or talks about something, you want to go check it out because it's most likely not the truth. And what our world has turned into today is what used to be truth is now accepted as lies. And what is untruth has now been accepted to be truth. How did we get here? How did we get there? What's the consequence of this? The more we kick God out of our lives, the more we lose. Because we become like Nazareth. Nothing can happen in our lives. I hear people say, well, I just want to feel the Holy Spirit at work in my life. Father, how come I can't have an encounter? Well, today's gospel reading tells us, maybe you're not having the encounter because you're not letting him in. And I'm going to share this story with you. Maybe this is going to drive the message home. In 2003, a popular, I won't mention his name, American evangelist, decided to go take a holiday with his wife. He lives and ministers in Dallas. So they chose to go to New York. So they went to New York and they rented a room in a hotel and they were there for a few days. At the end of their holiday, they decided, of course, they were going back home. They went to the airport to pick their flight back to Dallas. And as they were sitting there waiting for their flight, something happened. There was no power. And then they discovered that all around the city, the whole city of New York, there was no power. So they were advised to go back home and to come back when power returns. So they went back to their hotel, and of course it was all in dark, right? But as he sat in his room with his wife, he looked across and he saw a few blocks away, he saw this hotel, a Marriott hotel, lighted with light. And was like a Christmas tree, the only building in the middle of nowhere, all are surrounded by darkness. This building has light. So he said to his wife, he said, I'm going to go check it out. How come they have power? And there's no power anywhere in the city. So he got there, ordered for a few drinks, and then was watching TV. Then at the end of his drinks, they brought him the bill. And he asked the waiter, he said, how come you guys have power? You're just like a Christmas tree now in the middle of the city. And the waiter said, well, you should ask the assistant manager. So he went, they called the assistant manager, said, oh. And then he asked him the same question, how come you guys have power and there's no power anywhere? And the assistant manager looked at him and smiled, said, because when we built this hotel, one of the things we included was to have a gas generator. And because we have a gas generator, he said this, and listen to this. He said, so we have power on the inside that is not determined by the circumstances on the outside. I repeat, we have power on the inside that is not determined by the circumstances of the outside. Does this make sense? Does this make sense? Does it not speak about us Christians? There's so much darkness all around us. But the truth is, we've got power on the inside. But why are we not seeing this power? Because we've allowed the circumstances of the outside to affect the power that is inside. And the world throws all kinds of excuses at us so that that power will be extinguished. In the past 16 months, what the world threw at us was COVID. And we could not worship God. Now, we're coming to the end of that, and hopefully next week we'll hear the good news that we can assemble here, hopefully without mask, and we can pray, no sign up and all that. Hopefully, fingers crossed. We hope we get that. And then the last 1 week, something else again has been thrown at us. Residential school. Or residential schools. And I'm so sad that this is part of our history. And just so you know, Jesus too had a very ugly history. That's the fact of life. And it's unfortunate that this is part of our history. But I want to say to you folks, are we happy about this? No. But please, I have a plea this morning. Don't allow the mainstream media to offer this to you as an excuse to turn your back on God. Because that's what you are going to do. And listen to me, when we are done with residential schools, there'll be something else again that will be thrown at us. There's never going to be an end to this. Remember we had Black Lives Matter, right? We moved from there to COVID, in the middle of COVID. Now we have another thing. And is this not real? I'm not saying it's not real. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. And we need to fix this. But what I'm saying is, the best way to fix it is to ask for God's grace. It's not staying away from God. And they are even advising us to stay away from the church. Where do you think this is coming from? We know where it's coming from. We know where it's coming from. And it's not about reconciliation. It's not about healing. It's about taking Jesus out of our lives. And the earlier we realize this, the better. Because we have a power on the inside that should not be affected by the circumstances on the outside. I hope I don't have to resign after this homily. I hope so, but it doesn't matter. as long as you maintain the power that is on the inside. That power is available to you. Open yourself to that power so that that power can flourish in your life.